Amen. Well, I'll just start with a little story. First of all, one fall, the Native Americans, they went to their chief and they said, "Chief, is it going to be cold this winter?" And he said, "Yes." He didn't really know, but just out of caution, you know, he said, "Yes, it's going to be cold. Go and gather wood. Get ready for cold winter." And then a few days later, he thought, you know, I ought to find out. And so he called the National Weather Service and asked them, "Is it going to be cold this winter?" They said, "Yes, it's going to be cold this winter." And then he goes back to the people and he says, "It's going to be real cold this winter, so let's get ready. Let's get more wood. It's going to be real cold." A few days later, he calls the National Weather Service again and he says, "Is it going to be just a very cold winter?" They said, "Yes, it's going to be very cold this winter." And he goes back to the people and he tells them, "Go gather everything that you possibly can. It's going to be very cold. Get all the twigs, anything you can find, because it's going to be very cold." He called the National Weather Service one more time and he said, "Is it going to be very, very cold this winter?" They said, "Absolutely. The Indians are gathering wood like crazy." Okay. Be careful about where you get information that you base your decisions and your choices in life. It's amazing how people just kind of draw from here and there and everywhere, something I heard on, you know, or read on Facebook or whatever, and they base their decisions as, you know, it's just kind of accumulation of information that they've gathered here and there, and you don't know where it came from. We need to always go to the Word of God. The Word of God will never let you down. It will always show you the right way to go. The Bible declares itself that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so we always look to the Scripture to help us to know what God would have us do and what He wants to do in our lives. Now, I believe that winter is over. It's springtime, right? And I believe it's springtime for us as a church. We need to understand that just as there are natural seasons in this world, there are also spiritual seasons. And there are spiritual seasons that we go through individually, and there are spiritual seasons that we go through as a church. In Genesis 8:22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." Now, I think that tells us a little something about the stability of the earth and the earth's climate, but I think that there's a greater reason why this is in Scripture for us to understand. The Lord is telling us that there's going to be seasons in life. There's going to be seed time and harvest. Then I want you to understand this about spiritual seasons. They can be short or they can be really long. Then they're not all the same for everybody, but we all go through different spiritual seasons in our life. Seed time and harvest, he says, winter and summer. Winter and summer. That sounds like Texas, right? Winter and summer. But this year, we're having a nice spring. Amen. We're definitely getting the April showers right now, aren't we? But I believe it is time for a spiritual spring spiritually. Spiritual spring is a time of newness, freshness, excitement. There's hope. Things are beginning to grow, to bud out. It's a time of joy. Spiritual summer is a time of abundance and freedom and harvest. Wonderful time of growth, fast growth. Spiritual autumn is a time of transition. It's time to scale back, to gather in. It's the time when, well, growth just slows. And as winter approaches, sometimes there's setbacks and uncertainty. Spiritual winter is a time of difficulty and discouragement, restriction, death, lack of fruitfulness. It can be a really hard season. Now, I think that pretty much every church and most of us individually went through a long spiritual winter that began in March 2020. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it didn't end until like March 2021. And it was a really, really difficult time. In fact, a lot of churches went through such a hard time, such a, you know, difficult time in that year, that many churches even closed their doors. But for all churches, that was a hard spiritual season to go through. And I think that a lot of us, we also personally went through that. And that one is such a glaring example of that. But here's the thing. All churches go through spiritual seasons, and all people go through spiritual seasons in their life. And I think it'll help you this morning if you're able to just kind of recognize that that's true, and when and where you are in your walk with the Lord and what season that you're in right now. You know, we always enjoy the spiritual seasons of spring and summer, but here's the thing. Spiritual fall and winter are necessary and valuable to our spiritual growth individually and as a church. I mean, we would rather just stay in the good times and everything's fun and easy. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But we don't even like to hear this. Spiritual fall and winter are necessary. And it is part of the providence, the sovereignty of God. He knows that we need those things as well. Ecclesiastes 3:1-5 says, to everything there is a season. There is a season. We may not like some of them, but there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. Oh, know this, that God always has a purpose and a plan, and He knows better than we do. He says a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace. There is a season for uprooting, for tearing down, for mourning, cast away. Winter. In verse 1, we read, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We may not always understand it. In fact, a lot of the time when we're going through a spiritual winter, we question, why? But God always has a purpose. Sometimes we as a church, you know, we've been through some of those difficult times, and all of us have been through those things personally. I am believing God for spiritual spring in this church, for greater harvest. I'm believing God for new growth. I mean, we're seeing already lots of new people coming into the church. If you're new here, I will tell you, you're not alone. There's a lot of new people here, and I thank God for you. God is moving and working in a fresh new way, and I see that. Amen. I'm seeing lives changed in our children's ministry, our youth ministry, and adult ministry. God is moving and working, and I encourage you to believe also for spiritual spring in your own life. See, we go through those hard times, and I'm just telling you that we need to get victory and see that, yes, God has better things for us. It's coming. If you're not experiencing that right now, believe for it. Time to plant, time to heal, time to build up, time to laugh, time to dance, time together, and time to embrace. We read those all a minute ago. I just left out all the yucky ones, right? But there is a time when we experience all of those things in that spiritual spring. Now, you might be right in the middle of a spiritual winter. Because here's the thing, you see, we're not all in the same season. One person can be having spiritual spring. We read it, the life of a newborn, new life. While another brother or sister is going through the most difficult time of life in the loss of a loved one. And that's the way it is so much of the time in the body of Christ. There are some who are in a really difficult time, and there are some that are just enjoying the blessings. And you see, we need each other. And when you're going through the hard time, brother or sister is there for you, and when they're going through the hard time, you're there for them. That's the way it works in this body of Christ. But spiritual winter is a time that we don't understand, and we want to ask the Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I not seeing your blessings? Why don't I feel like I used to? You know, and you just have to keep walking by faith. You got to keep praying. You got to stay in the Word. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through it. And I say through it because you don't want to stay there. You want to keep going. You want to get out of it, come out on the other side. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep serving. You keep working for the Lord. And you just keep praising Him. See, some people stay in spiritual winter for a long time, longer than they had to, because something happened and they got hurt. They're disappointed about something and they get resentful. And until they come to the place where they can really forgive and allow God to come in and heal their heart, they have confined themselves to that spiritual winter. They've got to be, see, I told you those choices in life, a lot of the time, those are the things that make the difference in how long you stay in a spiritual winter. We all go through them, but you can end up staying in one a long time if you don't make the right choices. Realize that spiritual winter is necessary sometimes. We have to go through those difficult times in order to prepare us for what God wants to do next. Otherwise, we'd all just get comfortable. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy. I can't believe it says that in this translation, pure joy. I used to say this is my least favorite verse. They're all favorites. This is my least favorite, right? But I've learned to appreciate it a lot more over the years. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, lots of hardship. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, we count it joy when we're going through that difficult time, when we're in that season of winter spiritually, and it's hard, that testing, that trying of your faith, it is God doing a work in us. It develops character. It develops perseverance that you just keep going, you keep going. And perseverance brings about us being complete, mature, not lacking anything. You see, it'll change you, it'll grow you, get you to the place where you're not lacking in anything. And when you're not lacking in anything, you're ready for everything. You're ready for whatever God wants to do next. A lot of times we like to say, God, how come I'm not there? How come this isn't happening? How come? Maybe you're just not ready. And you need to let God do a work in you. As you persevere, He will cause you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, how can spiritual winter be a good thing? Well, let's consider it like this. You know, farmers know that if you don't have some good hard freezes, a lot of the bugs will survive the winter and it causes a problem with their harvest. And it's the same thing in our life. Sometimes it takes a hard, cold spiritual winter for us to get rid of some things that we needed to get out of our life. And we won't be ready for spring, for what God wants to do next, until those old things die away. You know, it could be anything that's unhealthy, compromise, pride, old traditions, anything sinful, anything that destroys or hinders our fruitfulness. You know, I mentioned already, but unforgiveness is one of the things that we all have to deal with. And I will tell you, it is absolutely a bug in your life that can keep you from being fruitful, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. But there's all kinds of compromise and carnal attitudes, all kinds of fruitless activities that keep us from fruitful things. All of us go through seasons, but how long you stay there to some degree is determined by the source, the choices that you make. Hebrews 12:1 in the NIV, it says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. See, if there's anything hindering you from going on with God, growing in the Lord, becoming more fruitful, I want to tell you, you need to get that out. It might not even be something sinful. You might be saying, oh, but it's not a sin. If it's hindering you, anything that is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, from being the best that you can be for the Lord, you need to get rid of it. Right. And sometimes you will find yourself in a spiritual winter until you are willing to cast those things off, to allow those things to die and no longer be a part of your life. You know, it's not just the bad things. There are things sometimes that were a blessing to us in the past, but they have to die away in order for there to be new growth, new fruitfulness. As long as we hang on to the past, it keeps us from what God wants to do now. You can see this really clearly when you look at the history of the church. Just the last 100 years, there are some churches at some denominations that have hung on to tradition, and so much so that they try to not change anything. I mean, as much as possible, they don't want to change anything. And here's the truth. Over time, without fail, without exception, they all start fading away. And many of those old line denominations have just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. At one time, they were being used of God and blessed in many ways, but over time, they just dwindle and dwindle because they hang on to their traditions. It's one of the reasons that all of the fastest growing churches seem to be newer churches. Why? Because they're willing to do new things and move into new things and let go of the past. But those churches that hang on to their traditions so often, it keeps them from being able to move into a spiritual spring. I mean, it's that old thing. This is the way we've always done it. But you know what? Some of us have that in our life too. You see, we all like to act like we like change or we're good with change, but the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're talking about even teenagers and children. Nobody really likes change except for babies that need to be changed. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else really likes change. It's nice to act like we do, but we get used to where we're at and how things are, and we get comfortable. We don't really like change. It's uncomfortable when things change, especially if we're not the one that initiated it. But listen to this. You see, if we don't change, we can't grow. Spiritual spring is about growth. All growth requires change. All change is not growth. There's a lot of change. It doesn't bring growth. It's not growth. But all growth requires change. If we're staying the same, we're not growing. Growth requires change. If we hang on to the past, so often we end up resisting what the Lord wants to do next. When God moves in a certain direction, we just need to be ready for that and realize that that's more important than any tradition. Now, you know, nowadays everybody says, oh no, I don't care about tradition. I don't hang on to traditions. But here's what I've seen is that people make a tradition out of something. A lot of times it's just been around 5 years and they've already made a tradition out of it. It's a thing. They can't let go of it. It's a thing. This is it. This is the one. You know, this is so important. Can't let go of this. But they won't ever call it a tradition. One time I was passing her at a church and this lady said she wanted to meet with me. And so she came and she said, oh, I just love the church. And she said she really liked my preaching. Can you believe that? She really liked my preaching. But she said, but I need to talk to you about this. She says, at my last church, We always stood for the reading of the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand something. To her, it was not a tradition. To her, it was a matter of right and wrong. It's just wrong not to stand for the reading of God's Word. And I understood where she was coming from, but I said, well, ma'am, we can't do that. I said, sometimes I use so many scriptures, we'll be doing calisthenics. Now, here's the sad thing. Here she come to the church. God was doing something in her life, in her heart. But because of this tradition, and by the way, I want to say it one more time. She didn't call it a tradition. She thought it was right and wrong. But it was a tradition. Because of that, she didn't come to the church anymore. She missed what God was doing in her life and what God wanted to do next. Y'all real quiet. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 75. You can have some traditions that if you're not willing to let go of them, they can keep you in spiritual winter, keep you from moving on in what God wants to do in your life. And you know, it's a strange thing, but a lot of times when people end up doing that, they blame everything and everybody else. They blame culture, they blame the church, they blame their family, they just find somebody to blame, and it locks them in to a spiritual winter. Just find yourself camping out until we're willing to let go of the past and move on. In John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. See, the Lord is really concerned about this fruit-bearing stuff. He prunes, listen to this, things that are fruitful. See, we're like, well, let's leave that alone. That's fruitful. Let's just leave that alone. Jesus says, no, the Father is going to prune the fruitful branches so they can be even more fruitful. Now, I want to tell you, no matter how you slice it, nobody likes pruning. It is a cutting back. And like I said, those are the branches that were fruitful. And that cutting back, it can seem hard, and to us it might even seem harsh sometimes, but it's necessary, according to Jesus, for us to become even more fruitful. And we just need to realize that God works in us this way, that sometimes there's something in our life that's fruitful, but yet God trims it back because he's preparing us for greater fruitfulness, for greater harvest. You know, one of the things we need to understand, I think we get kind of mixed up about this. There's a difference between annuals and perennials. Annuals is defined in Webster's as something that lasts 1 year or season, specifically a plant that completes its life cycle in one growing season. Perennials are those plants that are present at all seasons of the year. They don't die off during the winter. See, we need to understand that there are things that God does just for a season. And it is amazing how when God really moves and does something for a season, people are like, oh, this is the way it's always supposed to be. But for the Lord, it was a season. It was an annual. And he's going to do something else next season. There are some things that are perennials that are always supposed to be there. We should always pray. We should always study and read, meditate and hear the Word of God. We should always be faithful to the gathering together of the saints to worship. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We should always do that. We should always abound in the work of the Lord. We always keep serving Him, living for Him, doing what He wants us to do. See, we pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. We just keep praying, keep praying. This is no matter what season you're in, this never goes away. You keep praying. It's never going to be, oh, no more prayer for the church. We're done with all that. No, we're always going to pray. Now, back in the 80s, there was a time when a certain minister shared this teaching called Could You Not Tarry for 1 Hour? And it became this really big thing that we all had to pray an hour every day. And so at the church, our staff and anybody else that wanted to come, we had prayer Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. in the sanctuary. It wasn't very long, and it was just the staff. And then a little bit longer goes along, and it ended up just being 2 days a week. And a little bit longer went along, and I don't remember if it was a year and a half or how long it was, but it finally ended all together. Now, here's the thing I'm trying to say to you. You see, that meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning, that was a season. But that don't mean we stop praying. We still keep praying. There's some things that you're always supposed to do. I mean, the way we did it at 6 a.m. had to be at 6 a.m. See, that can be a method that's just used for a season. But prayer, that should always be in our life. You know, when it comes to the word of the Lord, I like this. I like to put my hands on it. I like to read it. I like a real Bible. Now, in this season that we're in now, I know that a lot of you do it on your phones, and let me just tell you, this doesn't, what would it be like for me as a pastor to say, oh no, you have to read the real Bible, not that phone stuff. That's silly. I mean, it's a blessing that you don't have to necessarily carry this everywhere you go, you know. This is not really good to have at the swimming pool. Just saying. Of course, your phone might not. Anyway, I am going to say one ugly thing about the phone thing. I just want to tell you that when you got this in your lap at church, see, I liked it. I liked it when we used to say, turn in your Bibles. I liked it. It's tradition. It's all right. But I liked it. But when you're holding this in your lap, you're not tempted to look at your text that just came in. You're not looking and scrolling down through Facebook. I want to tell you right now, you need to respect the Lord's presence. You don't do that in the house of God. This is a place that God, the Holy Spirit, moves and works and changes lives. And we ought to be tuned into Him and hearing His word and what He wants to do in us today. We don't disrespect the presence of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it ain't just teenagers that do it. Good grief. I'm a pastor. I love you, and I'm trying to help you. But the enemy is keeping you bound up because you won't give the Lord the respect that He deserves. But yes, always stay in the Word, however you get it. We always stay in the Word. We always stay working for the Lord. Always willing to do what God wants us to do. Always willing to worship God. Let me just talk about this one for a minute, because this is an area where a lot of people have had traditions. And as I said, they don't think it's tradition. They think it's right and wrong. But just for a big example, kind of, I pastored in Oklahoma for a time, and there was this church that we went to for 45 years. They sang the same 30 hymns. That's not even very many hymns. I mean, a hymnal has hundreds of hymns in it. They sang the same 30 hymns for 45 years. Now, a lot of the people were ready for change, and, you know, God put that in us when we went there, that we were going to bring about that change. And we started singing more modern worship choruses, and we still sang the hymns too, but we sang a lot of modern worship choruses. And there was a few people that they were so unhappy. They were just miserable. I mean, come to church with a scowl on their face. And what happened is they ended up just leaving the church, at least for a time, for several years. They confined themselves to a spiritual winter because they couldn't take, oh, we're worshiping a different way now. Anything written after 1950 couldn't be of God. And you see, when you've been in a church where it's one way, some of you, you've come from different denominational backgrounds and this or that, it may make you uncomfortable, but don't cause it to stay you, keep you staying in a spiritual winter. But we always worship the Lord, always. You know, maybe you need to do something new. Spring is a time of new things, new beginnings, and you know, you may be in a place right now where it's just time for you to step out in faith and do something new. I mean, maybe you need to commit, you know, just between you and God, that you're going to commit to have a new devotional time. Or maybe something regarding your family that you're going to say, you know what, no matter how busy we are, we as a family are going to sit down to dinner together at least once a week. Every week we're going to have dinner together. You just make that a priority. But you decide some things that, you know, as the Lord leads you, I want to step into some new things. I want to be willing to let God do something new in my life. You might need to get involved in a new area of ministry. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" He is a creative God, and He likes to do new things. Sometimes it takes a spiritual winter for us to do new things, personally, and sometimes as a church. You know, I mentioned that year of 2020. Did you know that for quite some time, I would say at least a couple of years, I've been thinking about it, thinking that, you know what, we need to live stream. I mean, we posted our sermons online after the fact, but we didn't ever live stream. But I want you to know that when all of that went down, we started live streaming in 1 week. We got it all together and got her done. You know what I'm saying? What brought that change? Spiritual winter. It was a hard time, but God used it to change us. Now, let me tell you the fruit of that change. You see, now, believe it or not, there are people that watch our service online in Corpus Christi, people in Minnesota, and people in other countries that have written me letters and said things to me online. It's amazing to me that God is using our services that way just because we live stream. How'd that happen? This is a hard time. But God brought good out of it and brought greater fruitfulness out of it. You know, He says, forget about the former things. Wow. Nor consider the things of old. That's hard for us sometimes. We get so used to things, we kind of get locked in to winter because we don't want to change. You know, 1 year, I'm really bullheaded about things and try to fix everything. And, you know, when it comes to those annuals that die away every year, I had a bunch of flowers 1 year. They were annuals, and I was so bullheaded. In fact, I've done this a number of times, to be honest about it. But I'll get plastic, and I'll cover them all. And if the winter's not too harsh, my annuals will survive. And I'm like, look at that. Look what I did. But here's the thing. See, sometimes we try to do that with things in our life or things at the church. Oh, well, you know, it's been good in the past. Let's cover it with plastic and we'll try to keep it going just one more year. No, sometimes you got to let some things die so that you're ready for the new things. That's what the Lord says. He says, don't consider the former things. It's time to move on. He says, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? You see, but we just, you know, it's hard for us to let anything die. But we need a little bit of that cowboy philosophy. You know, when your horse is dead, it's time to dismount. It's time to move on. You need to let some things die. Listen to what Jesus says in John 12, 24 about Himself. He says, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So we need to understand that death isn't always a bad thing. God can bring fruitfulness and harvest through that. Spiritually, I'm telling you, God uses death sometimes to get us to move into new things where there's new life and growth. Carmen and I, youth pastored years ago. I like using old stories because it's less likely that somebody's going to come up and accuse me and say I'm talking about them. So I don't use many stories from the last 10 or 15 years. But many years ago when we were youth pastors, we were doing choir tours with our youth group. And basically, I mean, pretty much, you know, the vast majority of the youth group would get involved. And so, you know, like one year we took 70 people on a choir tour, just going from church to church for a week and ministering in a lot of different places. And, you know, it's just amazing having 70 people involved in this. God was really blessing it. And that year we did this musical that was just super powerful and anointed, and it was amazing. But did you know what? Nobody does that anymore. Nobody. That's gone. There are new things that God is blessing and using now. There's also a time when we really excelled in using a program called Bible Quiz, which is just a way to get teenagers to study the Bible, and it helped us disciple a lot of young people. Most churches, if they had a team, they had a team. We had five. It was wild. And the Lord just blessed that. Saw lots of great things, great fruit from that. But my last youth ministry, I was in my early 40s, and I started Bible quiz teams, and it was okay. We started off with three teams, but I just felt like it was struggling, and like there was, well, here's part of the equation. We also had this youth worship team and youth drama team, and they were doing a lot of music ministry, and I just felt like the Lord impressed me that I had to let go of the Bible quiz and focus on the other. And it was really hard for me because I had seen such fruitfulness from that in the past. But I let it go and focused on the worship team and the drama and the music ministry that our young people were doing. In fact, I'll just give you this as a side note. There were so many super talented teenagers that God had put in that church. I have never seen anything like it before or since. And many of those now are worship leaders and serve and work at other churches. Absolutely amazing what God did. But because we focused on that, it brought great fruitfulness. If I'd have hung on to the Bible quiz, it would have hindered it. And I'm just telling you, see, we got to be willing to let go of some things and go with what God is doing now. Some things we always do. But sometimes we need to be sensitive to the Lord and let Him do it a different way. And I want to tell you that there are new things, good things happening at Grace, a lot of lives being changed. And just pray and believe with us that we are entering a season of growth and fruitfulness, that Jesus said, the harvest is great, and I am always believing for that great harvest, that laborers be sent into the field. That's what Jesus said to pray for. But, you know, just remember this. If you're going through a spiritual winter, take hope because it's a season. You don't have to stay there. It will pass. You'll come out on the other side. One of the stories in, well, the book of the Bible I just can't ever seem to get away from completely is the book of Job. Now, the Lord, He just always deals with me, shows me so many deep things in that book. And even this morning, I was thinking about Job. And, you know, Job went through a horrible winter where he lost everything. But it was a season. He came out on the other side where God blessed him with twice what he had before. But there's something else that happened that was even greater than that. The Lord confronted Job and He spoke to him. And Job saw the Lord in a whirlwind. He saw God in a way he had never seen Him before. I just want you to understand that sometimes you go through the darkest days of your life and you're going to come out on the other side knowing God like you have never known Him before, walking with Him even closer than you ever have. But it's a season. You'll get through if you keep going on with the Lord. So what do you do when you find yourself in spiritual winter? You stay focused on the Word of God. It will keep you. If you stay in God's Word, I want to tell you, you won't get stuck in winter. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the mockers. Those three things will keep you in spiritual winter forever. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He's like a tree that brings forth fruit in his season. This man who meditates the Word of God. Second, you got to stay in prayer. It's in the times of difficulty and discouragement that we need prayer the most. That's when we have to stand on the promises of God and keep believing, keep looking, and expecting God to bring the answers. We do that in prayer. Third, you got to stay on the potter's wheel. You got to allow God to work in your heart. It's during those tests and trials that as we persevere that He makes us mature and complete. And sometimes, you see, God wants to deal with some areas of our life that need to change. Sometimes it's pride. Well, there's one that will just stop everything, stop you from moving forward completely until you come to the place where you humble yourself before the Lord. But whatever it is, we got to climb up on that potter's wheel and allow Him to mold us and shape us and change us, to get rid of the things that we don't need and to bring in the things that we do need. So you might have to, the Lord might deal with you about some of the people you hang out with. He might deal with you about some of your activities. And He might deal with you about getting involved in an area of ministry. But you got to allow the Lord to deal with you, or you can stay there. Fourth, you keep working for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen to this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are supposed to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Even when we're going through a spiritual winter, we keep working for the Lord, because it is during those times that you got to plow up the fallow ground, the hard ground. It's got to be plowed and broken up so that it's ready. And then you got to sow seed. You don't get a harvest without sowing seed. And sometimes you put the seed in there and you water it, and it takes time, but you see, you just keep working. But He says our labor is not in vain. There is a harvest that's coming. So always keep on working for the Lord. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. See, there's a due season. We will reap if we don't lose heart. A due season. I believe we're in a due season. And if you're not, let me tell you, there's a due season for you. Don't grow weary doing good. Fifth, keep praising the Lord. He's still good. He's still God. He's still worthy of our praise. And praise helps us keep our eyes on God and the greatness of our God. It helps us get our eyes off of our problems and what we're going through and on to our victory. Praise helps us to defeat our enemy. As we sang about that, I'm telling you, our praise is powerful, but we just keep praising the Lord. Listen to this from Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high places. I just want you to understand that if you'll just keep praising the Lord, he will lead you out of that place. You just keep lifting him up and praising him. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. You just go ahead and praise him anyway. And I want to tell you, if you get your eyes on him, it'll help you, because he is a mighty God, and he is merciful and gracious and kind to us. He is good and he is faithful all the time. We just need to keep on praising him, whatever you're going through. I know that there are some hard seasons. I mean, some of you, you need to hear this word as an encouragement to you, and believe Song of Solomon 2:11-13. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. I believe that's a word for us. It is that time to plant, to heal, to build up, to laugh, to dance together, to embrace. Stand with me.